Welcome to the B2B Breakthrough Podcast. We're here to bring you all the best knowledge, insights, and strategies from e-commerce experts, successful business owners, and the team at Alibaba.com that you'll need to grow your business and achieve your next big breakthrough. I'm your host, Sharon Guy. Our guest today is the amazing Kia Shun Vultz, the CEO and founder of Shampoo Time, an innovative product she came up with the help of her young daughter. Welcome to the show, Kia Shun.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here, Sharon.
We're so happy that you're with us. So going back to when you first started out the product, what was your biggest inspiration and why?
So my biggest inspiration was my daughter. When she was born, she had a ton of hair. And I was like, I cannot do this. Our wash days were nightmares. Like leaning over the bathtub for an hour was killing my back. She would be crying. Water was running down her face. And I was like, okay, I have to change this. And so my inspiration was, how can I make wash days a better experience for my daughter and I? So that she enjoys it when she grows up. She's not thinking about whenever my mom used to wash my hair, it was horrible. You know, I wanted to make it fun and just a good bonding time for us.
Was she screaming and crying the first few times?
She was. She was like, absolutely not. Because when she was born, she literally had like a grown-up's head full of hair.
Wow.
People thought it was big. I don't know if you've seen a picture of her. But people would ask me all the time.
In your website.
Yeah, people would ask me all the time.
She had that when she was born.
Yes, basically. She had a head full of hair. And so I was just like, I have to do something to just make this enjoyable because it would take us like 2 or 3 hours to do it. And as a young child, you know, they're not sitting still for 2 to 3 hours.
I'm 8 years older than my younger brother. I used to bathe him all the time when he was a kid. And yes, although he was more on the balder side, I had less to work with, but it was not an easy experience at all, for sure. So Then when did you first come up with this concept for Shampoo Time? Did you just one day you thought we need a better process? And how did the idea come about?
So it was after one of those stressful wash days, and I was sitting at my job and I was just like, you know what? I can't take this anymore. I have to find a way to, for one, decrease the time that it takes to wash our hair. Because again, I said it was 2 to 3 hours for me to do. And it would actually be a little longer because we would stop and take breaks. So it would be 6 or 7 hours. Like the whole day I have started to wash our hair.
Would be dedicated to that.
Yes, exactly. And so I was sitting at my job one day. I'll never forget the day. It was January 15th, 2020.
Wow. You know it down to the date.
Yes. And I was like, you know, I can't do this anymore. And so the thought in my head was like, okay, I got to find something. So I immediately went to Amazon and I couldn't find anything. And so I said, okay, well, maybe this is something that I'm going to have to create at home. Mm-hmm. And so the whole day, like the idea was just in my head, not to be a product to sell, but just a product for me, you know?
To buy for yourself. Yeah.
Yes. And so I was like, the whole day I couldn't focus. I had this idea in my head of what I wanted it to look like. But again, I couldn't find anything. So after work that day, I took my daughter to her gymnastics class. And I saw how freely she was laying on the gymnastics mats. And it didn't matter if she fell or anything, like she was having fun. And I was like, you know what? I need something like that, but just smaller so I can put it on the kitchen counter.
Mm.
And so I got online and I started searching for the products that they made gymnastics mats out of. And I ordered some and it came to my house and I ordered a sewing machine. I didn't even know how to sew.
But you just order the machine first to sort of force you to learn?
Yes, I ordered the machine and the fabric and the foam, and I got in the kitchen and got to work. And the first product did not look anything like what it looks like today. It was super ugly, but it worked. She laid back on it, and wash days were like, ta-da, like magical. And so I ended up just posting it on her Instagram account and it went viral. Like everybody was like, how do I get one? Where do I get one at? And I was like, well, I just created it for me, but if you want one, I guess I can create one for you too. And, and so that's really how it really started. I didn't create it for it to be a business. Again, I just created it for myself. But other people were like, I need one too. I'm struggling with wash days too, you know?
So you posted it on her Instagram. It blew up.
Yeah.
And then people started asking you for their own product. And did you at that time start to or continue to hand make your product with your sewing machine that you forced yourself?
I did. So I continued to hand make it. So once it went viral, my aunt, she called me and she said, you have to take that off the internet. And I was like, you know, why? And she said, because you need to get a patent on that because somebody's going to take that idea from you. And so I thank God I did follow her instructions because I've already had several copycats that I've had to shut down. So I took it off the internet. I met with a patent lawyer, got all of that paperwork handled, and then I posted it again. And so people still wanted it and I was making it. So I was working a full-time job during the day. And then at night, I would come home and make shampoo mats.
Wow.
And granted, they were still ugly, but people didn't care.
Actually, for a lot of our listeners, can you describe exactly what your product is?
So the product is, it's a cushion, basically, that you put on the kitchen counter. It has a waterproof covering so that you can keep it for longer. And it has an entertainment bar. And that's what makes is special because the entertainment bar is where you can put a smart device, whether it's iPhone or iPad or a Samsung device, and you put on your child's favorite show and you wash their hair in peace. And I've had so many moms tell me before the shampoo mat, I couldn't even beg my child to, you know, get their hair washed. Now, after they've purchased the shampoo mat, their kids are begging them to get their hair washed and they don't want to get up. They're like, no, keep going.
It's like an in-house spa treatment at the age of 3.
Absolutely.
And it's for kitchen counters, right? Not for the bathroom.
So it can fit in the bathroom. If you have a big enough bathroom counter, it can fit on the bathroom counter.
But it's for the mat would go right beside a sink. And anywhere you have that sink, it would work for that product. Okay. Yeah. I thought when I saw the entertainment bar, I thought that was so clever because if you even go to a spa these days, they don't even have an entertainment bar and you can do it at home.
Right.
I feel like there's so many different, you know, theories out there about being customer centric, right? We talk about being customer centric in UI or UX design where you think in the shoes of your consumer and what they're feeling. I feel like your product just sort of built that into the product itself innately because your customer, your client can do whatever they're doing, which is right. Browsing their phone or watching something on their iPad, and then your right. hair washing on top of that. So it's doing something at their convenience
right.
instead of twisting the customer to fit your product. I thought that was great.
And people think all the time that I made this for the kids. I did not make this for the kids. I made it for the parents. The kids just benefit from it because they're no longer saying, are you done yet? Are you finished? Can I get up? You know, twisting and turning and squirming and screaming and crying. You know, they're just there still immersed in whatever is on that device. And the parent can really wash their hair and get it done quickly. And so I think the best products come from people who are having a certain problem and they figure out how to solve it. And so that's what I've done with the shampoo mat.
So then you were sewing and you were selling. What point in time did you say, I'm going to go to a manufacturer and produce this en masse?
When I was not getting any sleep and my daughter was not getting any attention. So that was about, I sold my first mat in April and then it got really crazy around June of 2020. And so I started looking for a manufacturer around September, October. And it was kind of difficult because I wasn't searching for the right terms. And so the term is a sewing contractor. And I don't even remember what I was searching, but I couldn't find it. And I was like, I know somebody has to be able to sew this. And so I went to a couple different local mom and pop shops here, and I found two that I really thought could help me. And I've been with one ever since the beginning.
So when did Alibaba.com come into the picture?
So Alibaba.com came in. The entertainment bar, I went to Home Depot and I was cutting these little poles to make it and then wrapping it in fabric. And that was like a nightmare. And so I was like, I got to find something different. And that's when somebody suggested Alibaba.com to me. And I got on and I was like, oh, they have everything, you know, like I could get anything from Alibaba.com. And I ended up finding a few manufacturers to help with the bar. And I just went with the best one.
How was that process in negotiating with all of these different manufacturers to make the bar? How did you choose which one to work with?
I chose based off of how fast they could create it for me, because I had to get a mold made, which was pretty expensive. And then who could meet my quantity, because again, I'm a startup. And so I didn't have a lot of funds to buy 2,000 entertainment bars at one time, you know. And so I kind of explained to the ones that I was talking to, like, hey, I want to start off small, you know, 300 here, 400 here. And a lot of them don't want to do those small quantities. But I did find a couple that was like, okay, we can work with you. Because, you know, I was like, this is my vision. You're going to end up making thousands of these for me. And they were excited to work with me.
So what I see often in the e-commerce CPG world is when new brands launch, they have trouble getting that first couple of customers for it to eventually take off. It sounds like you didn't run into that problem at all. So then what were some of your challenges, do you think, as you were kicking off the business?
Right. So the shampoo mat is very unique because there is nothing like it on the market. And so I think with us moms having that struggle, it was immediate, like, I need that. And so I did not have the struggle of it, you know, trying to get customers to come in and purchase. I had the struggle of keeping up with the order. Yes. So at the time when I was hand making them, my lead time was 10 weeks.
Okay. That's a while.
Yes. 10 weeks was the time. And my mom's house was packed. I had stuff everywhere. It was mats in every room, in the backyard, in the garage. Like, we were living in the mat factory. And so that was one of my biggest challenges, which was keeping up with the demand. And I overcame that hurdle, like I said, by finding a manufacturer here locally and then also going to Alibaba.com for my other products. But then I think another struggle that I've had is just capital, you know, having enough funds to actually make a big purchase so that I can lower my cost of goods and try to get the best price, you know, for my customer. And so one thing that I have been very fortunate to have done is to win 9 grants so far.
Wow.
One of them, I won a grant with Alibaba.com. And, you know, Alibaba.com has been here from the very beginning. I think they've been such an instrumental piece into me growing Shampoo Time from, you know, taking $200 of my own money and now creating millions in revenue. Like, I got Alibaba.com to thank for that. I've just been very blessed. That's all I can say. It's still unbelievable half of the time.
Are we going to be seeing your product in offline stores pretty soon?
I'll put it like this. I don't know if you will see the shampoo mat in Target, but I am working on a new product. It's called, and you're going to get an exclusive because nobody knows, but I just put a patent podcast.
Podcast is all up for product launches too, product announcements.
I just put in a patent for a product called the BeatBox. And so essentially what it does is it makes putting, I don't know if you have any experience with putting beads on hair, but basically right now, currently, you have to pick up the beads like one by one and put them on a threader, and then you put the beads on the hair. And so the product that I have just created is a product where you don't have to put the beads on the threader one by one. You pick up the threader, you put it into my product called the BeatBox, and all of the beads will be on the threader when you pull it out. And so it's actually going to be bigger than the shampoo mat. It's going to be huge. And I'm excited. And I actually found my manufacturer on Alibaba.com. Yes, the one to make the mold for the bee box. And so we're just in that process right now. And so that's where I really see my products being in retail. Not the mat itself, but all the accessories that I want to create for Shampoo Time, because I really want to make it a household brand to where everything that you use to do your hair is a Shampoo Time product. We're talking brushes, combs, towels, blow dryers, you know, every single thing that you would use is going to be from Shampoo Time.
Wow. It seems like you just have maybe a DNA for seeing a problem in a really common scenario and thinking of a solution for it and building a product out of it. Because I already saw your website. There's a lot more. There's brushes and there's a certain type of blow dryer, I think, also that's pretty unique that I don't normally see on the market.
So that's the hair steamer. And so what that does is steams your hair. It allows the cuticles to open and so that the product, the conditioner and the hot oil treatment can really penetrate your hair and leave it nice and soft once you rinse out the product. So that's been a really big hit as well. I really do think with the bee box, though, that's going to be huge because lots of braiders spend tons of hours putting beads on the threader. And this is taking something that takes about an hour, you know, or so to do, and you can do it literally within a minute. And so I think that's really going to take off. Even my patent lawyer, when he saw it, he was like, this is going to be huge. And so I'm just excited about it.
So in the TikTok world, a lot of different brands do videos that they've shot themselves. Sometimes they hire an agency to shoot them. Some of them are pure influencer play. What is going to be your method? Is it going to be a influencer more heavy strategy, or are you going to be involving your daughter in some of the video creation?
I'm really thinking about TikTok. I have yet to really get into the TikTok market, but everybody is saying TikTok is where it is for viral products. And so I think what I will do is reach out to a couple of TikTok influencers and put it out there. But I'm sure it's going to go viral as soon as it hits the market.
Is there a certain type of micro influencer? Because there's so many different shapes and sizes and follower count. Like, how do you approach choosing which influencer as that initial batch for product launches?
Right. So they really have to have videos already of them doing their child's hair. You know, I think that's one of the key things, because if they're already doing it, then it becomes a seamless addition to their content and their followers are already there, you know, wanting that content. And so I think those make whatever market you're in. I think I'll say I've had a lot of celebrities post my products.
You have for free or did you pay them?
For free. Yeah.
It's always a nice perk.
So like Serena Williams.
Wow.
Yeah. Nicki Minaj, Cardi B, Candy Burris, like all of the Atlanta housewives. And so it does well, but when you have that micro influencer whose followers like really love the content that they give them, it does even better, like triple the views and the clicks on the link to the website. So that's how I choose. A follower count, I feel like I don't really look at the follower count so much. It's more of what kind of content are they posting. I really like to do affiliate type program to where they're continuously getting money every time they post it. I feel like that's best for them. That's best for my business as well. And so I look for influencers who are okay with that.
That means you're even just spending not so much money on that influencer side because you're negotiating with them the eligible for commission type of contract with them as you're starting to use them?
Correct.
Okay. Wow. I feel like a lot of brands and maybe entrepreneurs can borrow a page from your playbook in that sense, because I know so many brands that are spending tens of thousands of dollars to hire micro influencers to shoot their product.
It gets really expensive. And I'll say, I don't have the capital to spend thousands of dollars because for one, inventing things is really expensive. So my patent has cost me, I have 4 patents on the shampoo mat. And so that has cost a good deal of money. And then, you know, I'm starting the B-Box product, so that's costing as well. I feel like when that is behind me, then I may be able to pay for influencers. But right now, like even the celebrities, the problem is so worldwide. Like, it doesn't matter if you have a lot of money, a little money, you know, everybody, if you have a child who has hair, they feel the pain. So they're excited to post about it. And so it's been a real blessing for sure.
Yeah. And all those celebrities posting on behalf of you, I think some brands can only dream of having.
For sure. So some of it has been really organic. Like, they'll see my product and just buy it. And then the other half of it, I'll like go in and find somebody that the celebrity is following who struggles with wash days. Like, I see they have a child, so I know they have to be struggling with wash days. And so I'll send them a message. Hey, I would love to send you my product. I send it. And then they usually come back and tell me how much they love it. And then that's when I shoot my shot. I'm like, hey, well, I saw that so-and-so was following you. I would love to send them one as well. Can I send it through you? Would you be able to reach out to them? And so that has really worked for me as well.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the success that you have on the social media space is you're doing a lot of the sifting of either who the influencer is, what type of video they're watching. You're very, very careful with selecting who to go to even.
Right. I'm just trying to keep it small. I want to grow organically and really foster a community of moms.
Well, it sounds like so many things are going well for you. What are some of the parts of your business where you think you're lacking or that you need help on?
So I am still a solopreneur. I still do everything besides pack my orders. I do have someone to pack my orders, but I would definitely just say hiring a team because I cannot grow this business to where I want it to be with just being myself. I need somebody to help with marketing. I need somebody to help with the operations part of it, customer service part of it, because I think what most people don't understand is when you start a business, you're literally doing everything. The packing, the customer service, the Instagram or social media posting, just every part of the business you're doing. So people think, I'm going to quit my 9-to-5 to become an entrepreneur. Well, yeah, you're going to quit your 9-to-5 and you're going to work 24/7 for 4 years to get your business to grow to where you want it to grow, because literally your hands are in everything. So I think that's where I could use the help to take shampoo time even further. But for now, I have to do what I have to do.
At what point do you think you're going to start hiring for the team? Is it a certain revenue target that you want to hit, profit margin?
It definitely is. So I don't really know what that looks like. I'm hoping that this year will be a transformational year for Shampoo Time. So the first year was really good. The second year I was pregnant and then I had my daughter. And so I really wasn't focused on the business so much. But again, it's a product that people want. So I didn't have to do too much besides keep up with the orders. And then last year, my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer. And so all of my time, energy went into that. But this year, you know, she's doing amazing. She's cancer free. And yes. And so this year, I really want to take Shampoo Time to the moon. And so I'm pretty sure by the end of this year, I will be hiring a team.
That's awesome. Wow. And are you going to start with a certain category first? Who would your first employee be taking over?
I would probably say a marketing person because I'm good at it, but I want to focus my time and energy, like I said, on growing Shampoo Time and bringing different products to life. So definitely marketing, and then also running the day-to-day. So making sure we have the inventory, making sure things are getting ordered to come in on time. And just keeping up with the day-to-day of the business.
Do you have any nifty tools, whether it's a SaaS product or a little part of the routine that you do day-to-day that's making that business run pretty smoothly?
I do not. So for inventory, I use SOS inventory. And so that's been pretty good because it keeps me on track. I think I need to implement. So there is the mini chat, and it's for Instagram. It's like automated messaging. So when people send you a DM, then you can like automate the message. But I'm so hands-on. It's just like, I want to go in and speak to the customers. You know, I want to be in the DMs talking back and forth and getting that feedback and learning what their pain points are. And so I think that's probably why I haven't implemented a lot of automation, because I want to respond back to the emails, you know, and I don't know. I just feel like nobody can do it like I can, but...
Yeah, I think what it sounds like is a lot of these things are very intuitive for you. You kind of just know who to answer, how to answer, what to ask, whether it's from the customer side or the influencer side.
I think it's been a learning process, because I don't come from a family of entrepreneurs. I've never ran a business before. I come from the corporate world. I worked at Boeing for a few years as a buyer. And then now I work for a top defense company. Yeah, I still work a full-time job. So there's that. But I think those jobs have definitely prepared me, because like I said, I was in supply chain. And so I kind of know ins and outs of getting thing lead time and how all of that works. But it was still a learning process, because these companies are hundreds of years old and they already have their infrastructure in place. And all I had to do was press a button. Mm-hmm. And here I am building that and what that looks like for Shampoo Time, so that eventually when I do have employees working for me, all they have to do is press a button.
It sounds like a great hiring ad for anybody who's listening who would like to help you take this product and take this brand to a new transformative year in 2024. It's just a job tip. So we're also in Black History Month right now. Do you have any inspiration or words of advice as a Black woman starting a business?
Oh, that's a good one. Words of advice for a woman starting a business. I think I would say just start somewhere. Because one thing I didn't mention is that I had this idea for Shampoo Time, well, for the shampoo mat, for about 2 years before I actually started it.
Oh, okay.
I had the idea of I need something to help with wash days, but I didn't know exactly what that looked like. I didn't know how to make it. Like, what is it? If it's not already out here, what am I supposed to be making, you know, to help with wash days? And so I had this idea for 2 years, and it would come up and I would say, you know, I don't even know anything about that, and push it away. And then the next few months it would come up again, like, you need to figure out something. And I'm like, yeah, no. And so I think it was a little bit of, I don't know if the word is fear.
Hesitancy, maybe?
Yeah, it was just hesitancy. Like, you don't know what you're doing. You've never created anything before. So, you know, and it was normalcy. Like, everybody is growing up with wash days like this. Like, it's okay. You just struggle through it. And so I think my words of advice would be, you have this idea. Now what? You know, start it. Just start. It doesn't have to be perfect. We look for perfection before we put things out into the world. But I think doing that prolongs the process. The shampoo mat wasn't perfect when I put it out. It was an ugly product, but people are still using my original one. They send me pictures. They still love it. But me putting it out there, getting that feedback, seeing what works and what didn't work, that's how I was able to perfect the shampoo mat to what it is today. And I'm still working on it each day. I'm like, oh, maybe I can do this differently, you know? But just start. And it's so funny that you asked that, because I'm actually starting a podcast with three ladies who I met in the Target Accelerator. And that's what our podcast is going to be focused on. It's going to be focused on, you have this idea. Now, how do you bring it to life? We're going to talk about the good, the bad, the ins and outs, and the journey of becoming an entrepreneur. And it's called The Entrepreneur. Entrepreneur podcast.
Nice. So, I love it.
Yes, if you're looking for inspiration, if you're looking for ideas, or if you have a problem that you need to solve, we are definitely going to deep dive into this whole entrepreneurial process.
So in these accelerators that you have been in, I'm sure you've met so many other entrepreneurs. Do you find that they share similar problems or much more different problems than you do?
I think in general, very similar problems. And it also depends on the category. So if it's a food industry, then they might have a lot of different problems that I don't have. But overall, it could be a supply chain problem. And, you know, that's a problem that I have, but in a different way. But I will say, meeting all of the people that I have met, we definitely share similar problems when it comes to not having enough capital. Most of them are still solo entrepreneurs as well. And then just trying to figure out how to really grow the business the best way possible. That we all have the daily challenges of running the business. And so I think those are similar problems that we share.
So I also saw on your website that your daughter also started her own type of brand, because she also has a website and it has her, I think, her outfits, her travel, some blog. And I didn't know she was 7. I thought by now she might be 12 or older, but you're getting her started young. And I'm sure as she watches you, she's probably also so inspired by what you're building as a business, as products. What do you think she has taken from her point of view in watching you do all this?
My daughter absolutely loves the fact that she has a business. She will tell you that she is the CEO. And so her website is CarterCeleste.com. But what she's taken from the business, I think, is that mommy works hard. She says that all the time. Mom, you work so hard. But she absolutely loves to see people using the shampoo mat. She's like, that is something that I saw my mom create, you know? And I let her help me pack the orders. And, you know, I tell her this one is going, you know, wherever it's going. And she gets excited. She loves it.
I think that's such a great part of education that you'll never get if you're in public school or private school or what have you, just in normal school for kids. That type of hands-on, this is how we make money, this is how we build a product, this is now maybe the harder part of wrapping up a box and, you know, the not-so-glamorous part, not looking at a huge revenue number on a dashboard part of the business. And she gets to see all of that, the ins and outs of building a brand. So what do you have in mind for the next 5 years for Shampoo Time?
The next 5 years. So Shark Tank for one. I'm going to be on Shark Tank for one of those.
I'm going to be on the lookout for that episode, I'm sure, whenever that episode comes up, because they always cut it also in short videos. And it's always those short videos that blow up and take a product viral. Yeah.
Yeah, so Shark Tank for one. But I would say for Shampoo Time, what's on our radar is definitely creating an app. Whenever I post videos with my daughter, people are always saying, you know, what is that she's watching? What is that she's doing? Because most of the time I try to have her do educational things. So it doesn't always have to be just playing, but she reads or she'll do an educational app. So coming up with the app is on my radar for the next 5 years. A storage solution for products, because we have like thousands of products. And so they're kind of just thrown everywhere in the bathroom. And so I know if that's my problem, I'm sure that's other moms' problem as well. And so I have that coming up. Definitely getting into some retail stores. I want to do a lot of in-person events.
Oh, okay. Have you already tried those?
Yeah. I've done one, which is Curl Fest. It's a pretty big hair festival in New York. And we did that last year. And that really made me be like, okay, I really want to get out and talk to people more, because I love when people come up to me and say, your product changed my life. And so that just gives me more motivation, more inspiration, more desire to come up with new things to put into the market. So definitely Essence Festival is on my list to vend at, and some of the other big festivals.
Yeah. So meeting your customers in person, essentially, instead of talking to them through the Instagram DM. It's just to hear it from themselves in person. Probably serves as really good motivation. Any advice that you would give to your teenage self?
I think the advice I would give myself as a teenager would be, don't be so serious. I feel like everything had to be perfect. Everything had to go right. And as you get older, you realize if it's not one thing, it's another. So you really have to enjoy the moment. I wanted to rush and grow up. I couldn't wait to be grown so that I can do whatever I wanted to do. But that's definitely something I would say to my teenage self. Just calm down, enjoy life, and don't be so serious.
And also launch a product when you have that idea instead of waiting. Just buy the sewing machine.
Exactly. Just buy the sewing machine.
Well, it was really great to have you with us. And I think you shared so many great pieces of advice for up and coming entrepreneurs who are in the same boat as you. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you for having me. And I just look forward to continuing to grow Shampoo Time with Alibaba.com as a partner.
Awesome. B2B Breakthrough is brought to you by Alibaba.com. To find out how Alibaba.com is empowering its customers with the tools, services, and resources they need to grow their businesses, visit Alibaba.com. And then make sure to search for B2B Breakthrough Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts. Make sure to follow us so you don't miss future episodes. On behalf of the team here at Alibaba.com, thanks for listening.